get the paperwork, Jared?
Well, I got the...
There's minutes.
So who brought the candy?
This is the city candy.
Oh,
this is,
nice.
You know, tree lighting.
This looks like the leftovers from the tree lighting.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot more where that came from.
It's great.
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you for being patient in over the last couple of months. I think we were smart to cancel our meeting last month, and I'm very, very happy we got a full house tonight. We'll go through our agenda here in a minute, but I think first and foremost, we want to welcome our newest member. Nancy O'Toole has been...
But the council voted yes.
And for those of you who don't know, Nancy has been on 250 West for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she really is the expert in the valley. She is the expert in the valley on grants.
Yep.
She worked for Mountain Lands for a number of years. She now works for the county, and I'm going to ask you to explain just real quickly what you do with the county. But she also brings a set of skills to the table that will be wonderful for us. And we're very, very happy to have you.
Thank you.
And it's wonderful
to
have you aboard. Could you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Okay. It sounds funny because I'm missing a tooth. Just so you know. Okay. I work for Wasatch County. I write grants for all the cities, state parks. I do feasibility studies. I do transportation plans. There's nothing, not much in my wheelhouse as far as writing grants. I can figure it out. And that's what I like to do. That's my skill set. And I love bringing in money.
And she has brought millions, literally, to Midway City. Millions.
Mm-hmm. It is fun. I enjoy it.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
That will be a little bit... let's see, I'll go through a couple of items here in a minute. Can we have a motion to adopt our minutes from the October 8th meeting?
I move to adopt the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Any public comments right now? You too? Okay.
Is there another agenda? One there on the
table?
I got it. There we go. Okay. Brad, did you want to take a minute to bring us up to speed on Preserve Midway? And the background for that, in our October meeting, we talked about, of course, their great success with the Boats March and participation in the civic activities over Labor Day, etc. And they were whipped. They were tired. And so what we want to do in the near term is to work with Brad and his team and really lay out some of our plans for 2026. How can we be helpful? How can we work together? I think they're on the cusp of being able to move in some new directions, but we need to be coordinated with them. So however much we want to talk about that right now, but just to let you know that we've had that straight together chat about that, and we'll be anxious and interested to work with our best partners. So Brad, with that intro, can I have you speak for a while?
Let me just add to that just a couple things, you know, where this is kind of takes us a couple of months to recover from the Bulks March, and we'll get just starting to ramp up again. But a few kind of big picture things I might share with you about the Open Space Committee.
Yeah, there's people online.
The first issue is really what are some of the macro trends we're seeing going on in the Heber Valley. If you haven't seen some of these studies, I came across a study recently. It was a list of the most expensive real estate markets in the country, and you look at that list of those top 10 most expensive real estate markets in the country, or most expensive homes in the country, and then and you look at the top 10, and you look at this, the usual suspects are in there, you know, New York City, places in Hawaii, but the most surprising thing is the number one most expensive homes in the country was Heber. Was on that list. And like that, what in the world is Heber doing on the list of the most expensive homes in the country? And so you have to kind of dig behind some of the data and what's included in Heber. And some of those properties that were included in the survey were the Deer Valley East and what's going on in Deer Valley East. But apparently there have been some very expensive real estate transactions there, homes. And the reason I think it's relevant for all of us in the Open Space Committee is because there's a lot of money going into the whole Deer Valley East, and there's a lot of money going into Heber Valley. But the implications for us here in Midway is we're just around the corner from some of the most expensive homes and real estate transactions in the country. And that's going to put, over the next 10 years, tremendous pressure on preserving open space because of that kind of capital going into the development of Deer Valley East and the attention that development's going to get over the next 10 years. So that's one big trend. And how do we work, what's our strategy, how to be behind that? But certainly, one thing we're thinking is the ability to close future transactions is going to be more difficult, and most certainly we should focus on closing whatever we have in the pipeline. Those deals are in the works and the properties that come to mind, to make sure we absolutely close. I'm thinking about Mitchell Kissel, Heart of Midway, I don't know where Lundeen is these days, but those three properties that are pretty far along. What could we preserve Midway? What you can do as the Open Space Committee? One thing I can think of, one thing in particular, is that usually closing these transactions, one of the issues that most often comes up is just shortfalls in funding. Whether we usually consider, when there's shortfall in funding, maybe it's time to step in quickly and bridge that gap with more of the open space bond than was initially approved to make sure the transaction closes. But
can I interrupt just a second? We have committed our first $5 million
to the Lundeen.
All of our projects.
Okay, multiple then. Okay.
We have from at least two of those a statement when we went through them that if another bond is passed, which it was, then they would like to be able to come back to us for some more funding. We have not opened up that second bond yet. Okay. And so that's where this planning right now comes forward.
The $10 million.
And you know all about that.
Thank you.
And one thing, Marissa, since you're in most of these transactions, and this is just brainstorming, the kind of thing we want to work together with you on is usually I think what happens is these transactions get approved and we turn it over to Utah Open Lands and then we just wait till all of you get that transaction closed. I wonder in the future there might be more of a, hey, you communicate with all of us, hey, we have an issue here, how can we help you get to closing? I don't know what that is, and maybe that's some more back and forth to make sure that what's in the hopper, those properties that we've just looked, they are so important, so valuable, and they're even more valuable now given on what's going on in the valley. What we can do to help you get them closed. So that's the one kind of big macro issue, I think, the challenge in the next several years that we need to keep in mind. The other thing that we're kicking around a lot is what's happening in the North Fields and how that might impact Midway. And what we, if anything, we want to have happen in the North Fields. Nancy, I talked with you about this. We were kind of debating back and forth what the tactics should be. But the people I've talked to since are pretty much saying that there's going to be a bypass. And it's either A or B. I don't know. We can debate that, whether it's going to happen and the implications for either.
Now, a new study just came out. A couple days ago, I read it, and I don't mean to interrupt, but
It talked about the one big issue Utah has. Number one issue is water. We destroy the, I'm trying to explain to them, if we destroy the North Fields, you know what's going to happen to our aquifer and all the water that we supposedly have under storage? So that was a huge article. I will send it to you guys. All it talked about was water and how much we're not going to have with all this growth and everything going on, and that we're not protecting our aquifer. So,
and the meeting we had with you out this week, there will the environmental, what do they call that?
The EIS
is going to be released in January, and it will have 45 days for input, and so that will get the word out on that. But yeah, it's absolutely happening.
Yeah.
So we're not going to like any of the options, and what we can do to mitigate it remains to be seen. But yeah, it's coming.
Well, and I wonder, not preserved rights, friends of your valley, there are other coalition of landowners that are working to be prepared for that. And so getting a letter ready to be sent out for, your letter previously was used to Travis to draft a lot of that. And so I don't know what the board can do, I don't know what the city can do, but as individuals, I know that's where nonprofits are starting to lean, but being prepared for when that comes out in January, 45 days is going to go quick. And I'm actually grateful it's moved past the holidays, because I think really lost a lot of time there. But I do think it's being prepared and deciding what we can all do. And I don't know what the board can say or do.
Right. So, are there any efforts to reach out to Utah County, where most of that water goes?
And Salt Lake County, too.
It's the state's water. That's the bottom line.
My point is that the more signatures you have on the bottom of a letter, the more oomph it has. And if we had any kind of contacts with
some groups that did Sundance and the project of the Brownville Falls, there's quite some groups that we could reach out to.
I think that's a good idea. I think there's having separate letters being put in. I know the Coalition of Landowners is one. But yeah, more groups, more nonprofits.
And people just saying, don't with my water.
I wanted to, because of what you led out with.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. It was probably on the agenda.
And they're huge issues. And given what you led out with the real estate thing, we just saw this on Instagram today. I'll turn it up. Okay, this is Park City.
Park City Realtor?
This is where second home buyers are choosing to be.
Yeah.
Not for the short-term yield, but for the land, the lifestyle, and the legacy. Welcome to Midway, Utah.
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. Who is she?
It's called, the agency is a hot real estate company worldwide. Huge. So Driven fly fishing, hot springs, mountain living.
With the 2034 Olympics coming and big infrastructure development happening, this area is about to see a spike in appreciation. Now is your chance to get the brightest buyers move early before the rest of the world catches on.
Is that really the worst thing you want?
Did you give her one of these?
I'm literally working on a way to respond, and maybe even to reach out to them directly, because I'm going to invite them over to Midway and say, no, see, this is not Park City. This is not luxury.
We don't want
this is a community. And but they don't care about that. They care about making money, and there is profits to be made here. My point being, the more land we can conserve, the less luxury people. I have become a bigot of billionaires. I don't want them in the world, and I certainly don't want them in Midway. And I think our task to get very our task, and I will help you starting in January 1st. our task really is to get very proactive with landowners and to see, well, who we can hook up with to get into the land conservation mode. Tragically, and as Marissa well knows, the current powers that be that are clawing back any money we had and are freezing future money, it's pretty reliant on private investors. And, you know, if we get some of those billionaires to step forward and to help us save the land, we might have a chance. So I think we have to be very, very hyper aware of what is coming here. I mean, that is an Instagram post that was also used in lots of their marketing material, and it literally made me sick to my stomach. I just saw it today for the first time. So
we passed a city ordinance that if you don't have a passport to get in the Midwest,
if you're on the way, you can't get the Midwest.
That's going to cost you,
pick a number, what, $2.5 million donated to our open space to get a passport.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if the state would let us do that?
That's going in the minutes.
Yeah. So you've said it, I've heard you say it several times, we've kind of become a victim of our own success, and that's going to be the challenge, I think, is how do we, you know, Midway's become a very desirable destination. It's going to become a more desirable destination. How do we strategically, tactically, operate that
kind of... Well, and now you've got people marketing to the uber wealthy saying this is a great place to invest and have a luxury home and it's going to appreciate in value. So now we're going to have those folks. I mean, up until now, those of us who have imposed ourselves into Midway late in the game did it because it's a community that we wanted and it was a rural environment that we wanted, not because it was a great investment. I plan to die here, you know? That's not what they're marketing to.
Yeah.
So it's a concern.
So that's what's on our mind right now.
Thank you, Greg.
Michael?
Yes.
This just from a beyond just an open space issue, we probably need to be looking very closely at some changes to Chapter 16 in the land use regulations to anticipate some of the things that are coming. And we might be able to, with some ordinance changes,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
To at least control it a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. And with Mayor-elect Simons that's coming in and our council, one of the first things we're going to look at is the zoning map itself and just look at that comprehensively. So that's on the docket coming up here pretty quick. So
if any of you want to see a really good half hour discussion about city planning and big town and small town and some good back and forth thoughts, go back to last Friday and the Hinckley report.
Oh, really? The Hinckley, really?
The Hinckley report. And that was their whole subject. And 50% of it was housing and what small towns, medium-sized, big towns need to do. That's in everybody's news, but I thought it was one of the best back and forth I've heard about.
Okay.
And Natalie Gochner, who's a friend of mine, is the vice president of University of Utah. Yeah, the Institute. And I only mentioned the friendship part and that we go back a long time working on open space stuff. And she was on the panel and she drew out from these other individuals. One was an urban financier whose angle was how can our money be spent better and get more people into affordable housing? Not the homeless issue, but a young couple or whoever getting into something that they just can't afford. And then also some thoughts from a former state legislator who was working on that. But it was one of the best things I've seen in a long, long time. So, okay, let's move on. Celeste?
Yeah.
You know, my dear.
Love it. Can I mix it with the real stuff?
But I didn't want to be front page news for the wrong delivery at our final meeting in December. And I just want you to know how we all feel, how blessed we were that you came in with the attitude that you had, and that your guidance was both professional and insightful. And you've been to most of our meetings. You've been our proponent when we needed it. You've made some statements at City Council. I'm kind of mad you didn't double our salary, but you know, you couldn't do everything. You couldn't do everything. But we all want you to. We all want you to know how much we care about you, and we hope that your post-service plans do include us. And
oh, 100%.
So, congratulations.
Yeah.
And we could probably use some help thinking about... Michael is going to get working on the ordinance and things. But where I disappear to... a little island 7 miles off the coast of Maine. If you want a group of people who are not particularly fond of outsiders, you would be hard pressed to find a group that's worse than that. The houses get handed down. I mean, it's generation after generation after generation. The house I go to was built in 1865. And it's never really left that family. A terrible thing happened. One of the homes was sold. Oh, and that was pretty much everybody's reaction. Oh my God! The guy who bought it, I honestly don't know his name, largely because I'm terrible with names. He shows up and he's like, "Well, yeah, I got to go back to LA. I'm nominated for like 4 Emmys." And we're like, "Oh, God." And he's like, "No, it's okay." He got here on Thursday. On Friday, he was stocking shelves at the store. One of the things we need to do is. For that passport. Your application process is, you gotta be okay. You know, I think about...
Yeah, a vetting committee, right?
Well, it's like, how do we promote the Lisa Wishnicks of the world who show up, you know, buy a big chunk of land and she redid the house, but that was it. You know, like, there are people who are going to sit there and go, this is freaking awesome. And they're going to be the ones that buy a home in this subdivision and buy the lot next door because they want the space. It's that kind of thing that we need help kind of, how do we tap into that?
It's a tough one, yeah. And I'm giving it a ton of thought. I mean, I'm literally going to reach out to this realtor gal and see if she'll come and meet with me and learn a little bit more about this community, because obviously we can't discriminate, and it's very difficult. But we want to make sure they understand. Like I will quote multiple things where people have tried to change our code because that's what they wanted to do and it didn't happen, right? So that's who we are. We can't be bought, and what we have here is what we value here, and we want to keep that, and we need to keep that sense of community that comes from being, you know, Park City, that's their biggest struggle, their sense of community. They're 80% second homes.
Right.
There's no sense of community with that. And nobody in this room and all the people we associate with want that, right? Mm-hmm. So what we can convey that as best we can. We can convey that we don't change our codes because, you know, we have met a gentleman by a lot knew upfront what the setbacks were, knew upfront what the conditions were, was told by his realtor, was told by Michael, came in with multiple suggestions. Michael said, no, no, no. He finally came to city council. Okay. Council said, no, you can't have a bigger house on this lot. These are the setbacks. And I think if we can somehow convey, yes, you can move here. If you want to have a sense of community, this is the place for you. But if you want a luxury investment, this might be problematic, right? We've had other situations where, okay, this is a reasonable request and what you're asking works and we can make an adjustment. But we don't make an adjustment because you're a patrillionaire and this is what you want. So I'm working on that. I'll come up with something. But yeah, we'll do the best we can. We'll do the best we can and try.
So my wife and I moved to Park City in 2001. And you know, at the time we moved there, homes were 300,000. There was a lot of couples our age having kids, mm-hmm. and you know, the whole works. And we left in 2016, and it had just completely changed. I mean, yeah. and it's scary because it did. Everything became a second homeowner, mm-hmm. and those that were real and were living there, you know, it's easy to sell out because everything just keeps going up and up and up. So I've wrestled with the same problem over the last 10 years that I've been here because I absolutely love Midway. And I don't think there isn't a silver bullet. And unfortunately, I mean, you look around and you're like, of course, this is where people would want to live. Look at the mountains and look at this cute little town and all these things. So it's hard, and I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but what I saw in Park City was it just became a function of money. Yeah. Who had the money and didn't, who didn't. So, all stay here, okay? All you guys. Yeah.
Stay here and fight for what we have.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, to be continued, this is a great foundation for the discussion we need to have heading into next year, and some of it's related to the very things that you've all brought up. Thank you for everything, Celeste.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm still part of the team. I'm not going anywhere.
You are.
Would you like to serve on the open space?
Well, I want to serve on all six of our committees, and I'm not quite sure that's allowed. So anyway, no, I absolutely will help. I'd love to get hooked back up with Preserve Midway again, too. And yeah, this is what I care about. And it's a beautiful thing to have been a part, as we all know, of something so incredibly, incredibly important. And we've done it. We have done it.
I think it's interesting in the since we've started this enterprise, all the candidates for office in Midway, open space has been the top thing just about on any of their policy platforms or agendas or whatever. If they're not into open space, the word is, you know, waste your filing.
And that needs to really be promoted on a state level too. Yeah. You know, we're a small pocket in a big area, and working on the statewide conservancy board, I've really seen it, and I've seen the limitations that the state legislature has put on this. I mean, they put less funding into the Leroy McAllister Fund every year than we have as a small little big town, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy, and so on a state level, I intend to be fighting for it as well. So.
They need that, you need that, mm-hmm. because they are shrinking everything they possibly can shrink mm-hmm. to protect the open space. They want everything. So, I agree.
Look at what Mike Lee is proposing for Kermit.
Oh, don't get
me
started.
Yeah, exactly. So,
glad you didn't sign the card for Celeste's.
Well, thank you. It's very, very kind of you. Thank you. And honestly, I do. I appreciate your thoughtful consideration to my drinking habits. But I won a big sales contest once, and everyone in my company knew that I didn't drink alcohol. And they gave me this very expensive bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Really? And, you know, after the big award thing, they handed it to me, and I walked off the stage, and I, in front of the world, handed it off to someone else and kept walking. I was like, come on. So thank you.
You're welcome. Michael, on city issues, can you bring us up to speed on things, the gears that are moving and the other things that are going on, if you will, please?
Yeah, just a couple of things to report on. So last night, the city council meeting, the city council extended the deadline for the homestead to record their conservation easement on the Turnberry open space. It's not a long extension. That'd be, I think it's mid-January that they'll need to have that recorded. So it's about a month and a half.
Okay.
Delay. They ran into some issues regarding their loan on the property with their lender. So, but Summit Land Conservancy is working on that conservation easement, and it should be recorded here in the next 45 days or so.
Okay.
We feel pretty confident that that'll happen at that point in time. They're also, they have to bring all their lights into dark sky compliance. Not so much an open space issue, but they've done about 80% of them over the homestead. And they had some really awful lights that had a lot of glare and just shined all over the place. So that's all being fixed right now too at the
that's
homestead.
Great.
Last night we had city council and we talked about some of the code changes. We're looking at the visioning of the commercial zones, so the C3 and the C2 zones. And one thing that we're looking at doing is kind of reducing the size of the commercial buildings to have more of a rural feel on our main street long term instead of, I guess you'd call it Park City, where it's zero lot line. Our code right now allows zero lot line, but it looks like we're heading away from that to where we're going to have more buildings that would look kind of like what you'd see with Haven over here, for instance, that type of thing. So it's still walkable, but it's not quite as tight as you'd see in other cities. So that's the direction we've got. I made the changes to the code this morning. We still need to go back through Planning Commission and City Council and all of it, but that's just a small piece of the puzzle. The general plan promotes really trying to save some of the pasture lands on Main Street, so we've got to see if there's a way we can do that. It's a very expensive property, but if we can work some ways into the code to help promote more open space, then we're going to do that. I think we did some of that with South Hill. There's the big open space corridor right next to Main Street and then heading towards Memorial Hill, so we'll use whatever tool we can, that's for sure, to try to make sure we keep Midway the way it is as much as possible, even though there is going to be some growth. So
okay.
So I think we're making great steps right now. There's other things we can do, and we'll continue to work towards those things. It's never ending. The mayor's worked hard for the past 8 years and trying to form and make sure that we're preserving open space, and we're going to continue doing that as much as we can. So
are there any projects or any discussion about our, that might be opportunistic for us with trails and parks in town? Almost all of our projects, we have a trail.
Right, we have a trail.
And that adds points to the validity of their application as a public use.
Right.
But we haven't probably linked up with the trail committee as much as we may have.
We
and
do
might
have
an opportunity.
Yeah, we just finished Center Street for the most part, and that's been in the works for a couple of years. But the next big one that we've got
by Nancy Hutchins.
Yeah.
Is Pine Canyon, right?
Yeah, so Pine Canyon, so Warm Springs Road, the loop going up to the campground, Warm Springs and down Pine Canyon, that's coming. And it's probably going to be 2027 when that'll be.
They're doing the engineering now.
Yeah, so we were hoping it was going to be next year, but it's probably going to be 2027.
Wetland delineation, they've got to do environmental study because of all that, the piping, and
yeah.
There's a lot of issues.
We did get a really good deal on that one where we only have to pay for 6% of it.
Can you
so
call
UDOT's,
that up on the screen and show us that?
Yeah.
If you'd be so kind.
I'm
so,
working with UDOT. I'm trying to get him to pay that 6%.
Let me hurry.
Sure,
he's
got more money than we do. Well, it's a UDOT vote.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. And Craig always goes, yeah.
Mayor, same question for you from the city council or any other committees, anything we should be aware of as we move into 26?
You know, I would just say to get really aggressive. And I think that's where Preserve Midway really, it's tough for a city committee to go knocking on doors, right? That's very problematic. But for independent 501c3, you know, well, that's something we can do and plant those seeds fully understanding that a small percentage will bite, but maybe none of them would have been if they didn't have somebody knock on their door. So I think it's time to really up the level of proactivity.
Yeah.
So
Can you show us, Michael, what we've been talking about the last couple of minutes here?
And so right now we have the Homestead Trail that ends right here at the Visitor Center. We have the Kerry Lane Trail that comes over here, and then a little piece of this Pine Canyon Trail up to there. This new project will bring a trail all the way along here and up to the campground, and then also down and connect to here. And there's also a good connection over in Scotchfield. So that'll be a really nice loop on the north end of town. Good addition. Lots of, as Nancy stated, environmental type issues. It makes it very expensive. Some boardwalk is going to be required on some of it. But we're lucky that we've got UDOT paying for the majority of this bill, so that'll be really nice for us.
Yeah. One of the things I've mentioned, it hasn't been for a year or two, but I screwed up by not getting this done in the day, but this is the old Whitaker property here, and having that a part of the state park.
I know.
Yeah. And I left before that got done, and I apologize for that. But we're past that, but I'm wondering if there might be an opportunity there in an aggressive but realistic manner to protect more of that between the wetlands and the ponds. There isn't a lot that could be done there.
Yeah, there's a lot of sensitive lands in there, but there are some developable parts.
So Tom has, I believe it's 12 acres.
Yeah.
Holly Alden has 40.
She has the majority.
And we have talked to both Tom and Holly. We'll continue. Neither one is willing to make any kind of a commitment of, not even to say, yeah, that's ultimately what we want to do. So Holly has explored multiple different things. It's in the county, so that's a weird thing. It's not in Midway.
Yeah. We did annex one piece recently. Which is this, it's about 3.5 acres, and we brought it in as one lot, so it's very low density.
Yeah.
It's also resort zone.
Yeah.
It can be resort zone if we bring it in that way. County-wise,
county,
it's 1 acre.
It's not a resort zone.
In county?
Yeah.
It's 1 acre.
Yeah. So there's multiple weird things about it, but they're both willing to talk. Tom, of course, lives in Midway. Holly lives in the county. But I think there's still discussions to be had there, and
under the auspices of we got to give it a try.
Yeah.
And it may not be us as much as it is another group of people.
Yeah.
But it's there, and some very high values that we would want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking earlier about agricultural land, USDA. In the next 2-3 years, is going to open up a grant to preserve agricultural lands. What they do, it's the same idea of a conservation easement. They'll pay the people not to build on it, no development. But it's probably, I don't know, maybe it might be the next year, maybe 2 years, but it's supposed to be huge, between $30 and $50 million. And they're talking about it now.
In this administration.
I know, it's not going
to
happen.
So we have to wait a little bit. No, something's going
to happen. But we need something to protect agricultural, and it's so expensive that we need funding for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm looking at.
Mike, you know, last I heard that Tom Whitaker was thinking about a glamping development going in there.
Yeah, and it's been a.
As I monitor that land in my spare time, there's a little cabin unit that looks like it's being built right on the west side of that lower reservoir, that lower pond.
Yeah.
Which is just for his family. No, it's just for his family right now.
Yeah, and so it's in the county. We didn't issue the building permit. The county would have. The one thing he's asked us for is a culinary connection, so we've negotiated with that, but it's never been finalized.
Okay.
But that's one way we can kind of control what happens on the property is through the culinary connection.
Which is pretty much why any annexing comes to Midway, is they need a water connection. So it gives us a lot of control.
Yeah.
But, right now Tom's just, you know, it's a playground for his kids, which is fine. But we just have to kind of keep that. And honestly, that little video clip is something I would show to Tom. You know, and I'll say, Tom, this is what's coming if we're not careful. So he doesn't want to see that happen anymore.
Let's make sure we get a pool out of it. Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, that property is amazing. If we put it all as open space, let's at least get a pool.
Let's
a community pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now.
Anything else, Michael?
No, that's it.
Michael, will you have the map up? Could you show the Homestead Golf Course conservation easement you were referring to?
Yeah. There's a little bit of a delay here, but so it's the Lime Canyon area. So a lot of this golf course area is already protected open space within the plats of these subdivisions, but this area right here is not. And so the conservation easement will be over this area right there.
Just the upper portion, not the lower?
Yeah, just the upper. These ones are owned by, like this area here is owned by WorldMark. And then this area is owned by Cottages on the Green.
And to be clear, it's owned by them, but it is it's under easement, right? Open
so
space?
It's in a golf easement, but yeah. As part of the requirements for those PUDs, they had to have open space. Mm-hmm. And so it's in the plat, and that's very difficult to change. It'd be great to get those in conservation easements also, but they'd have to be a willing participant in that, those HOAs. But it is protected. I mean, really, for them to change anything, the city council would have to say agree to it, and it's not likely that would happen.
But the HOAs that's under their control.
They own the land, and they have to have the open space, and it's also encumbered by a golf course easement. So there's a lot of things holding down what can happen on those properties. So
I would just add a lesson learned that even if the HOAs are under control, if you want to just drive up there and take a look at. You know, what had happened up there, because the homestead is currently in charge.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. They pretty much, they're remodeling the golf course, and I'm sure, keeping our fingers crossed, it'll be beautiful when it's done, but right now it's just a big dirt pile.
And yeah.
Amazing what you can do with some caterpillar equipment.
Yeah, it looks way different from what we're seeing here. There's no green left. So.
Jumping off on that, thank you, Michael. At earlier meetings, some of you may not have been here, but we did talk about the 2026 opportunity, and there were three things that we focused in on. Michael, can you three more times help me? One would be Bergey Hill, and Bergey Hill is currently not covered by anything other than the city's, the current zoning about it. Can you talk about that for a minute, Michael?
Yeah, Bergey Hill there's three ownerships. The north end is owned by Bergey Hill Ranch's PUD, and this is their open space, so that part is locked up. The city owns this east side right here. And so that was deeded to us when Dutch Fields came in, but the majority of it is this area here. And generally, our sensitive lands code will make it so that's not really developable. But there is a spot kind of down in this area that could be developed. And so it would be, I think it's high priority that be conserved in some way or another. If obviously, it has to be a good deal for the city, but I think that would be, it's something everybody can see all through town if there's some homes higher on the hill.
Is it agricultural or is it just grasslands and...
Yeah, the owner purchased it without ever talking to me. It lives down in Arizona, and so one of these days we've got to make contact with them and see if we can plant a seed for conservation.
What's going on with the castle up there? They ripped it down, right?
Yeah, that's a separate parcel. It's about 6 acres, and the owner said they were going to build a home on that property, but I haven't heard from them for a while now.
So and I would add to this and the other projects. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, it's not showing up there.
Yeah, there's a trail that comes through here and around and then comes back down and then over here.
Okay, so it's far off to the east.
Yeah, this is a little backcountry trail that zigzags through here.
Is that a trail easement or just a social?
So since we own this property, it's on ours over here, and over here there's a trail easement on this property. So it doesn't go on this other person's property on this site, but our master trail plan shows trails all the way through here. Yeah. So
where's the trail that you can see from River Road when you go through the roundabout?
I think it's right here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the roundabout's just off of this map. I'm gonna pull it down just a little bit.
Yeah.
There we go.
So yeah, this trail right here. And that is, that's a public trail.
I should have added his background to this and the next two I'm going to mention. This was our discussion when the federal government was getting ready to shut down. We didn't know if the money was going to be coming. What are projects we could work on seriously? And so that's the nature of this. And we have talked about it before. But we think now, those of us that were at that particular meeting, that this is a time for us to roll up our sleeves and see if we can do that. Can you go to Cemetery Ridge, please?
Yeah, so this is State Park right here. But this is private ownership. It's 78 acres. And it kind of comes up like this and over right here and around like that.
Point out Ken Gardner's property.
Yeah, so Ken Gardner owns, this is the area for the conservation easement. There actually will be more than that, but he owns all the way up to here and over. So borders this and then State Park here. It's right in the middle of conservation easement area, State Park. Be a great piece. Again, very visible from every spot in Midway.
And the cemetery is right below.
Yep. Now, my question is, where is the irrigation canal?
Yeah,
there's two of them.
This old canal runs right here, and a lot of people use this as a trail right now, but there's really not a trail easement for it. It's on our master trail plan, but we don't have it secured. We do want to get that trail. It's beautiful. If you've been up there, you can
but
see the whole valley.
But the irrigation company would have an easement, though. Yes.
They do, but they can't transfer a water easement.
No, but they have. The reason I was thinking about that is when I looked at this property before, the thing that, from sort of an investor-developer perspective, that makes you grind your teeth is the irrigation easement that runs right through the middle of it. And that's the old canal.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing for a trail, but you know, for people who are coming in and they want to develop and this and that, the fact that you have an irrigation easement right through the middle of it is...
Didn't Ken try to buy that?
Who?
I thought Ken Gardner tried to buy that at one point.
Still willing to consider it. His brother is actually involved with it right now with the other owner. We were a millimeter away from getting this property.
Yeah.
And with open space bond money, and these developers came in and made a better offer, not even substantially better. It was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
They're realizing it doesn't have the development potential they thought it did. And again, we're not caving on any level. So they've met with Michael multiple times. Yeah. Michael makes it very clear that that's as good as you're going to get. We had one interesting meeting where they tried, this is the kind of stuff I'm not going to miss. they came in with a list of this is what we will do for the city, and there was not one stinking thing on that list that was legitimately helpful for the city. Not one. And when we batted each one down, and they get, in my opinion, they just get annoyed and act like we're country bumpkins or something, to which I just say, sorry, you know, and then they kind of stomp away. So the last rumor was that they want to unload it, but they want to make money, right? So they want to sell it for more than they pay for it. So there's discussions, maybe potentially this is something we can get. I'd sure love to try.
We'll keep working on it.
Yeah.
And Wasatch State Park Friends. And the Wasatch County Trails Association, they have applied for a study grant going from the visitor center down to Soldier Hollow. And it would be in that corridor and would go through those properties. And as she will tell you, there's a lot of study before that's going to get anywhere. But there's a pretty strong chance because of the flatness of the irrigation line, that it'd be a wonderful citizen trail to those two places with easy access for literally hundreds and hundreds of people, not to mention the parking areas where people could get on. So a factor behind my question and our interest would be I think people would jump on that if there was an opportunity to preserve some part of that forever and the day under a conservation easement. And that might be the beginning of the discussion. Would you, you know, 50 feet above and 50 feet below, kind of like it's been done with the Provo River and the federal ownership along the river, would you consider, ma'am and sir, you know, agreeing to this as a starting argument that's based on a public trail.
I mean, I'm sure you've thought about this, but and I've, you know, this is a little bit my world, which I apologize for, but, you know, give them 5 acres at the bottom. If they've got 5 acres of buildable area, and we'll take 95% of the rest as open space.
Yeah.
And maybe we have to give them high density, but to me, if we can protect 200 acres or whatever it is of open space, it's probably, yeah, probably worth
and,
it.
And we, yeah, we actually kind of floated a similar concept. Yeah. They weren't terribly interested.
Yeah. But if things may change.
Things may change.
That's how we're approaching it.
And I agree. I think there are times when that could be an appropriate way to go, right? So
maybe we'll get one of these billionaires to come in and figure he can get the city council to change the land use regulations, and of course be disappointed.
Yeah, very disappointed.
Can you go to the Hamlet property down by the river, please? Yeah. The last project that we talked about in our group discussion here, you all know the Hamlet is right there on the bend. That's the,
yeah, it's this thing right there.
That's it, yeah. And all of that is how many acres, Michael?
That's like 11, 12, yeah. Yeah.
And that is owned by the Hamlet people. That's at this stage not developable. It's the old dump for the city portion of it. And we have been spoken openly and been covetousness of that property as a minimal development park, as an access point. The new facilities that are just above that, that's a big enough park. We don't need to try and compete with that. But the idea that we had of having a natural area that forever and a day above the federal and state ownership down below that could have that level of protection and be added to the acreage. All of us have talked about it. I have always worried that somebody, a billionaire, comes in and does whatever needs to be done with the old dump, and all of a sudden we've got a massive home that's there. And This of all the low-hanging fruit, this is probably the easiest. I've spoken to the Parks and Trails Committee twice about this, and I think they're interested. And it's much more of a trails-oriented project than any of the rest of them. But I think smart people, if we include Wildlife Resources and the feds, would have a lot of fun putting that together. We even got so far as saying if the city brought some earth-moving equipment, and Wildlife Resources brought some earth-moving equipment, and the feds brought, and we had a combination work week down there that it could, after a season or two of plantings and wildlife habitat development, we'd have a beautiful area down there that is there for the taking. So anybody else want to contribute to that one?
Is there any restriction on it right now? There is open space right now.
It's required open space as Hamlet.
Yeah. Okay.
And we do have an easement on it right now for public access too.
Yeah.
And an agreement. So just there's only certain things we can put on there. Then like a dog park, we can put that there.
Mm-hmm. Would the idea be that it stays with the Hamlet?
Yeah, it's always going to be, it's part of their platted subdivision. It's always going to be part of the Hamlet.
Yeah.
They own it and they can't sell it. They can't.
Michael, what's the agreement call that we signed with them a couple years ago on this?
Yeah, it's really a public access easement, yeah, is what it is.
So basically, yeah, they haven't literally given us the land, but they've given us the land, right? Because they wanted the city to have it because they were paying taxes on it, basically. And by putting it in our name, they don't have to pay taxes. In that agreement, we were very clear, we reiterated the open space component, potentially a dog park could be there, trails potentially. Especially, it's really a great spot for like dirt biking trails for little kids because it's not really steep and stuff. That we do have some real concerns with the earth moving part because of the fact that it used to be a dump. So whatever we do, we don't want to disrupt what's 20 feet down, you know? And we want to keep whatever's 20 feet down, 20 feet down. Yeah. So that will always be a consideration.
Right.
Yeah. Is there any like methane gas release or anything?
Nothing that's okay. Anyone's been able to measure, and I don't know how hard, honestly, anyone's tried to measure it.
Okay.
But basically, you know, the rules are kind of, if we leave it alone, we're okay,
okay, yeah,
you know, so we don't want to know what's there.
Okay.
Well, the rest of the dip was on the north side of that, and those are all houses all the way up to the Johnsonville place there.
Okay.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
So, they've been there for quite some time without any issues.
Right.
Isn't it crazy how they always put them in the most delicate areas?
Yeah.
Put them right by the river.
Yeah,
that's where we'll put our junk.
Yeah. Well, and back in the day, obviously, when Midway had a fraction of the homes that it has now, it was the low spot in the valley. That's why the sewer ponds are there. It's the low spot in the valley. Those sewer ponds are gravity fed. So, as things change and as we realize, wait, this is really cool land we're dumping things on, how do we now modify and adjust? So
yeah, this was 1990. This is the same spot, just years and years ago. There was just nothing over there. And so that's why it was a dump. This year, 1993.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's what I remember it being like. So.
Yeah.
Well, I presented those three just as a little bit of background about what we talked about in one of our meetings. As an example, if the federal money was to get tied up, if we were not able to open up our new bond, here are some things that we should roll up our sleeves and get after. And that's without defining who the partners are and what the order is, which leads me to the other issue that we wanted to talk about, and that is we've got a new mayor coming in. We've got one new city council person and one who's coming back to the city council, correct? And so how do we get off on the right foot? And how do we do that in a way that's meaningful for everybody involved? And to cut to the chase on that, we thought if we were to have, there were two options. One was over this next 2-month period to have either a work session among ourselves and identify it as that and talk about these issues and others that you want to bring up about moving forward. And a 26 plan. What are the priorities for 26? And or have a work session with Craig and appropriate members of the city council. Make sure Kevin's there. And do the work session with them where we can display what we have done, what we have talked about. We might have new information from you about what's happening in D.C. That's going to get no worse and maybe get a little bit better. But it would be a way for us to share both our good fortune over the last bunch of years, but also we're wanting to get the sleeves rolled up and do some things now and to get their insight on moving forward. When Celeste came in, we were a brand new committee and we didn't know much. And it took us a while cooperatively to move forward. We felt in our discussion that this would be a good time to do the opposite now, to have a sit-down meeting at some point, either after our planning session, which we could call our January meeting. That's we just have to identify it as such, and do the whiteboard and get busy on that with our partners, and here's what we want to do in 26, and roll that out, and then in early February meet with the mayor and have and or the city council and have a work session so that we're laying out our values, our accomplishments, but also our desires moving forward. So let's chat about that for a minute and just what are some thoughts? What did I miss from those of you that were at the other meetings? What do we want to think about so that we move? I really feel it's important for us to have some momentum and some targets and some ABCs of what we want to do the first half of this coming year. I'll just conclude with that.
One of the positives of a work meeting, we don't have public. We can speak more freely.
It will be a public meeting still. Yeah. There's really no way of getting around that.
I mean, so. It can't be closed session. It just would have to be noticed as an open space meeting.
Okay. Because I'm just thinking that,
when you do have a closed session, it just allows very, very free thinking without having to edit yourself, which can be dangerous. You know, and other than that, I would say just, you know, if we knew going into the meeting, does the city want anything for a conservation easement on Burgundy Hill, for instance? You know, I mean, when we look at conservation easements, one of the reasons that we sit there and go, you know, Marissa, work your magic, is we have to come up with a lot of money. You know, is there anything that the city would want in return for conservation easement on any of those properties? Something like that would be good to know. And that's why I say, like, just the more free we can be about spitballing and throwing ideas around, the better.
And I think you could. Right.
If we invited the Midway Open Space Advisory Committee to a Preserve Midway Board meeting, that's a different venue, right?
Well, if you don't have a quorum, that's where it comes in. If you have a quorum, it's just like if the city council, if we had a meeting, if there were three of them, we'd have to notice as a public meeting. And so it all depends on how many are there. So I hate to have to quote
the
rules.
You're talking about 2026, and, you know, I think first things first is probably a good way to approach it. And what Brad mentioned earlier is let's get these deals that are in the pipeline closed. That may require some creative work that would be appropriately done in an executive session, because we're talking about
real estate
transactions and those sorts of things.
That's one reason you can go into a closed session. So yeah.
If we're looking at a list of priorities for 2026, I would recommend we put that at number one.
And what are those? The Heart of Midway?
The Heart of Midway, the
Cemetery Ridge,
Mitchell Kissel, and the Lundeen property, the three that we've committed funds to and have not closed yet.
Yeah.
And if the billionaires, you know, go on TikTok and see, or whatever that was, to see this, we need to get this
done
before the bus comes into town.
Yeah, we should do. Totally agree. I think, to your point, presenting the information from this group to the new council, I mean, Craig is obviously very aware. I think Andy's fairly aware because he's been on planning commission. But I think presenting to them that these are the three we want to close, these are the three we want to see if we can tighten our hold on. Two we could tighten a hold on. One we would have to go after financially, and that would be Cemetery Ridge, right? So I think the council would appreciate knowing that is this group's priority. And then if they disagree with that, they can tell you. My hunch is that they will applaud it and support it and say go for it, right? I don't anticipate any pushback. I think it's very helpful for the council to be made aware these are our priorities. So that would be my suggestion.
So would we want to take our January meeting time with an open agenda and really get this nailed down, and then schedule later in January city council meeting? Is that
or even order? In February? I mean, there's only going to be one city council meeting in January, and that's the 20th.
Oh, okay.
There is another opportunity, could be at strategic planning meeting. That's an annual meeting for the council, and you could talk to Mayor-elect Craig, see if you could have an hour at that meeting to let them know these are your priorities, mm-hmm. and to make sure that you're on the right track, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And that, but for you guys to meet first and get all those ducks lined up, I think it's a really good idea.
Okay. Other thoughts?
The only thing I'd like to bring up is if we do talk about the Bergie Hill, the Cemetery Ridge, and Hamlet, let's take each one individually. If we need to study for that, let's get that going. You know, whether it be an environmental study or a feasibility study, mm-hmm. something like that. These rotate every year between January and March. We can get feasibility studies. We can get any kind of studies that we want, environmental. You know, anything like that, we can get on these to at least get the ball rolling on that to see what we're dealing with. You know, we don't know on the Bergie, mm-hmm. I guess it's called Bergie Hill Preserve, but that might be, you know, something to start with, is at least getting some studies going. Because you got to have those in order to apply for anything. You got to have your ducks in a row, right? You got not so much shovel ready, but you got to have some things done. And so there are grants out there, and they go from January till about March, end of March. And you can ask up to, well, Land and Water Conservation Fund, we can acquire land, and they've got $6 million in their budget right now. Mm-hmm. I'm applying for some money for something. Mm-hmm. But there's other ones that there's no transfer of money. What it is you hire a consultant out of a list, and they do the work for you. Mm-hmm. And so there's no money transfer. You just, they pay them, like we're doing a master plan for the Parks and Recs. Mm-hmm. We're paying Consor $105,000 to do the master plan. That's an idea. What I'm thinking here is some of these might need some environmental studies.
So like the Bergie Hill, not mm-hmm. Bergie Hill, the...
Hamlet.
The Hamlet or the Bergie Hill, yeah, either one.
Okay, it's already to think about. Protected mm-hmm. and a study about how it could be...
Used.
Further protected and have public use and mm-hmm. great habitat, etc.
Yep. Some of those reports that you're discussing may have, because some of the rules and regs have changed, where you have to have them, and you can probably direct me better on this. I know if you were doing like a phase one environmental,
right,
that has to be dated within six months of closing.
I know.
So that would be too early. Yeah. You couldn't do it now. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you got to be careful because I yep. don't want to waste money.
Right.
Rebuying the same yeah. stinking report over and over, because once they have to redate it, they're going to get you.
I know.
For the report.
It is.
One thing with that is there are other due diligence costs that maybe not that same with the appraisal costs that need to be within a certain time frame, but maybe we could explore paying for those, giving them on the books, which then allows more things to be checked off more quickly. I know as the conversation progresses about how can we get the Giles and Kissel and all these closed, it really is obviously the federal shutdown. There's so many pieces that are out of your hands and our hands, which feels frustrating and just compounds. But that would be a way to get ahead of it. And I'd be curious to have more conversations on what due diligence costs could be covered. Because right now that's what Utah Open Lands and Summit Lands, that's we're paying for that directly. We're not making money on that. And so
right.
if those can be covered, then it's... We're not fundraising on that end. We are just moving through.
Right. No, that's something to think about. Definitely.
But you're correct. Well,
does the Land and Water Conservation Fund still require a 50-50 match?
Land and Water Conservation. But what they're saying now, they've changed the rules, is if you've done any work on your property, say Heber bought 10 acres at Muirfield Park, that purchase price can go towards your match.
Mm-hmm.
So any work that you've done up to a certain point, specific things, there's a whole list of them, can be matching funds, which is good, because then if you do some work, because it's hard to be shovel ready and not spend money, but you got to be shovel ready in order to get the grant. You're kind of like, you know, so there's some things you can do, and we can put that on as far as matching funds.
Particularly with Cemetery Ridge, all
right.
of Wasatch Mountain State Park was bought with 50% Land and Water Conservation Fund money. That's where it came from.
Yep.
And then the state matched the other half.
Yep.
And that's the history of that hugely successful program all across the country.
It's a great program.
Yeah.
Well,
you got to have half the money in your pocket
mm-hmm.
before you can go. I don't know about the study part. Maybe there are other sources that are much better.
The study parts, and there's no money. There's no matching funds. There's nothing. You want to study. You apply for it. They say, okay, here's your consultant. Pick one, and we'll pay them. That's what's so nice about it. That's one thing Utah has done that's done really
okay.
well.
Okay. Any other thoughts about all of this particular?
It just sounds a little bit like we're doing about 140 acres in Massachusetts. And, it's Massachusetts. They don't call them conservation easements, but it's a conservation easement. And Massachusetts doesn't use federal funds.
little bit from this pot, a little bit from this pot, a little bit from this pot, a little bit from this pot.
They have that kind of money, yeah.
And I know it's federal money, but it's sounding, like listening to you and listening to all you guys talk about, well, there's this grant, there's this grant, there's this grant. That's where I see our thinking going, rather than sitting there and kind of like, okay, we get, you know, Leroy McAllister, we get this, and that, you know, we have the small little, small in number, not how much money we're getting out of. Options that we go to for money, it's sounding like, no, this is going to be more like Massachusetts, where we have like lots of options of little bits of money. You know, where you go, that part, that could be cost-efficient housing. This part is farmland. This part is this. This part is that.
Yeah. You can do that.
That's kind of sounding, you know.
When I have a huge project, I break it apart. I apply for one grant for a trail, one for infrastructure, another grant for something. You know, so you could break it up. Because you can't get it all in one grant, it's too expensive, so you have to break it up. And that's, I think that shows a strong commitment to the project. I mean, you can write that many grants and get, you know, and get it all figured out. That's the word I would use. Yeah.
Anything, Jerry?
No.
Okay, anybody else? Am I gathering from this informal discussion that we want to take our meeting in January and to prepare in the near term to go in front of the city council in a yet undiscussed way? It might be a work session, it might be a formal session, it might be this larger planning group that you talked about, to lay out opportunities, objectives, and some insightful thoughts about these projects, including the ones that Woody mentioned that we are not stalled at, but we need to also add those to the list of very important items for us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does everybody agree with that? Marissa, does that strike you as being a good thing? Can you help us with some of that?
Yeah. We?
Okay, one more trip to Hebrew Valley with their skis.
I make a good excuse to stop at the Mercantile, I do some shopping, drive to the Northfield.
Okay. I don't know that we need a motion for that, but if any one of you feels we should have that, just to confirm what we are wanting to do with our time and our effort right now.
So moved.
So moved?
Yeah, I'll draft it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay, got a second. So this is to confirm our general objectives moving into the new year as I just described it. And if you can help, we can get that sent out next couple of weeks so we have a chance to look at it before our January meeting.
Minutes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Good. I feel good about that. What's going on with you guys?
Okay. Well, I have neutral, good, and great. Which direction do we want to go?
Let's start with neutral.
Okay. Neutral. We did hear back about RCPP. We don't have a date, but it'll come out in January. So that's neutral news because we've been just in this ether. We don't know. And so that's neutral. We'll deal with it when it gets there, but the pot of money is there. They haven't said it's reduced. The only dollar amount we know is that it'll be maxed out at $20 million per applicant, which we had applied for 22-something, and we received 16.5. And so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to apply for the max and assume that they're going to drop it a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's neutral. It will be great news come March when we get the funds back. Good news, I think you were at the meeting right before this. And so moving forward, just update on the Lundin side of things. There's going to be a working session next week. And then moving, I believe it's the 17th, about dates, but working just to get everyone to sit down in the same room, have council members, have Utah Open Lands there, just have the right people in the room to start to move forward. So that's good news. We are moving forward on that. Good news, Mitchell Kistel has gone through the county process to formally subdivide as they needed to do to remove a family member's house from the easement. It didn't reduce enough acreage to affect anything that we've been doing so far. So now we're moving forward in the NRCS process with that. That's good. Obviously, that's still a long process, but the funds are obligated. With Preserve Midway's help, we have everything we need on that side. It's just moving it forward. Same with Giles. Chad was having a hard time with federal shutdown, as we all were, but we, you know, we've been wanting to close that for the last year. And so it's good news that we're working to close it in the next couple of months, hopefully the latest come January. We're just waiting to hear back on a few of the federal processes, but everything on our end, everything on Chad's end is done. We're just waiting. Money, of course, been obligated. So, good news. Great news, we received funding for Parents in Wellness through the Lee Ray McAllister Fund. The board came out, some of the board members came out and walked the property. They were obviously impressed with the land and with the landowners, and I think just really connected to the story, and having them leased to Kohler from some grazing land, making that connected argument. And you know, it's not just one 48-acre lot, which I think on paper that's what it looks like, but really it connects the agricultural community of Midway. Russ Kohler wrote a great letter of recommendation, and so that is great.
And coincidentally, there was no planning on this, but Russ's son was at the property moving the cows and the sprinklers. And, you know, you see this little 15-year-old or whatever he is running around doing all this cowboy stuff, and that melted everybody's heart.
Yeah. So that's exciting. We have, Utah Open Lands has some landowner meetings coming up, which is just an informal opportunity for landowners to hear people who've gone through the process, Kohler's, Pear Tree Llamas, how it's going through, and just to answer any questions. And so everything that was on our RCPP, every landowner parcel that was on our RCPP application, that of course is right now paused until we can reapply, we're continuing those conversations. We're speaking with the landowners and saying, it's happening. Thank you for being patient, and we're gonna, you know, let you know when it becomes available. As far as Northfield's protection, still readily moving forward on that. Like I said, I'm grateful actually that it's pushed back to the middle of January, and so just connecting with Friends of Heber Valley, Preserve Midway, whoever we can, the partners, to just be prepared for that public comment, and as individuals, what can we do? And like I said, I know there's a coalition of landowners. I think it's a great idea to have other business owners write letters and be prepared for that public comment, because I do think there's a legal basis, not that Utah Open Lands or anyone is pursuing, but private landowners, I do think there's a legal basis for the environmental process that maybe you didn't follow great, or by the books, but that's all just, yeah, we're working to assist or just, you know, support in the ways we can. So, are there any projects I missed, Corlin? I was so excited about
Parachute. Yeah, go ahead. Are there any Kim Gardner updates in terms of the status of what's next with family discussions and activities? And we know that there's the commitment there, but it's been talked about how soon on both properties we might be moving forward. Can you inform with that?
Yeah, don't have a date on that apart from knowing that the commitment's still there and looking into the new year, sitting down and having some conversations after the holidays. Okay. So no big update there, but
that's moving forward. And Kim has had some health issues, has been back in the hospital again recently, so we're just taking it slow.
Okay.
He's still as committed as he's always been.
Yeah, okay. Any questions?
Lundeen? Did we already talk about Lundeen?
So Lundeen, there was a work session tonight, and they agreed to have people sit down at a round table, essentially a working session this upcoming Monday, have everyone just be there and, you know, go about it a different way than what it's been happening. And I think Utah Open Lands is excited, and I think that that's what needs to happen. And then from there, the decision, I believe, is the 17th, which obviously that date could shift. But right now, that's what's on the calendar. Did you have anything?
Well, the 17th date really is kind of Midway's not, it's really a Lundeen family decision. Nothing on Midway's side has changed.
No.
We are trying to, we continue to try to work with the family. I think that's the best we can say. I know that Wendy Corbin and I will be having a discussion tomorrow. And I talked to Wendy before coming here. I wasn't actually at the Wasatch County meeting. Wendy was, and so we were talking right before I got here. Still tricky, still working on it. I think Wendy's got some really good ideas. as a result of that meeting, and yeah, she's going to get pretty aggressive to try to get things done.
And you're familiar with the Lundin?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That'd be sweet. Okay.
Any other questions or observations for Marissa? Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
She is amazing. I keep thinking she could be like one of my kids, but she's so smart. Her kids are smart too. She just I see her in action with the state board I'm on, and it's very impressive. We're lucky to have her as part of our team.
We are. Definitely.
Well, thank you. Like I said, yeah, any excuse to come to the Valley, I'm happy. Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Drive safe. Watch
safe travels.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch. Steve, what do you got to say about the county and your committee? You had at least one, maybe two meetings since the last time we met. Can you bring us up to speed?
Very minimal. Very minimal meetings that we've had. We have had no new applications at all. I think the biggest discussion, probably, maybe the mayor can talk to you a little bit, has been the lack of involvement initially of the county council with all of the development that's happening on the far east side of the valley. And how could we get back into that, and the county council get back into the discussions that are happening, particularly with the development up there, is that the developer will maintain complete control of the development until the homeowners association takes over, and then the homeowners association will be the ones that are controlling the development. But that's going to be way late in the process.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Which doesn't seem like a good idea at all. And who's going to
hold? That's typically, as you roll out a development, the developer owns the lots.
Yes.
And until you get enough private homeowners in there so that they've got a majority of the lots, the developer will call them the shots anyway.
There's some flooded land up there. And the developers, I think, backing out in some of it, which has been the issue. There's some discrepancy between what was originally approved by the county and what the developer thinks.
Are we talking about the ridge?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a complicated one. And Midway is in the ugly stepsister position, right? Like, we don't have much of a voice over there. We're in the same position with the bypass, too. It's just, it's kind of interesting. I think what is, because I'm going out, I'm just going to say it. What is problematic over there is that there needs to be team building as opposed to divisiveness. And you have a mayor and council on the other side of the river that are very divisive. You have a county council that is divisive with that group. And so it's, if the county council and that city council and mayor, which I fully believe and have faith that they really do want virtually the same thing, but they have to come together and have a discussion and then have a united front. And until that happens, you're host.
So that's why I brought this up. Is that I don't see how that could happen here, but I'm sure anything can happen anywhere.
I don't know.
And that's just, to me, it's a tale of warning.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is. It is. And I think it's something I feel really strongly that we've done well on this side of the river.
Absolutely.
And we'll continue to. Even when we've had disagreements, we've been able to find community, right? And find solutions that are what the community wants, even when some council members maybe didn't want that, or some council members did. I don't know how you fix that over there.
And I implore and invite all of the parties here involved to sit down at the proverbial table. This project demands and deserves employing act of accredited land trust and the associated third party. So that's from George Hansen, our resident. How many of you got that?
Yeah.
in an email. Would you want to get it?
Can I ask you?
So this is to whom it may concern. It's the very issue that you have brought up. And it gives you one person's opinion about what's not working and potentially a solution. It's not individual things, but Michael, if you could make a copy of that and send it out to everybody so that you're seeing what is going out there, and paraphrasing what the mayor said, that's essentially what he has followed through with, is really challenging the common spirit of those who largely want to see the same thing, but for the battles with the city and the battles with the county, and maybe with the county, it's so many things going on, this just doesn't fit in. But I think it's fine to share that. He the way he paraphrased it, he sent out a follow-up letter to that, but that piece that I shared with you, that's the key part of it. And while we have some empathy, I guess, for what isn't happening up on the ridge, I've hiked around up there a bunch, and it's a mystery to me why real people would put real money into a golf course at 7,500 foot vertical and pump water up and all that kind of stuff. So I'm biased, not from what's being done up there, or I guess I am on that part of it, but that it has taken such a spin. And looking back on it, as Steve just said, there's maybe some things that would have helped in the last few years.
I think I think the mayor has done an incredibly good job, and so I think for the most part we've only had two parties here. Is that fair?
We've
had the city, and we've had somebody down here.
Michael.
Here. Mm-hmm. Over there, there was kind of a three-part process. So I think that the point is that if you get too many people, or you get a very high number, is that you're opening up this court.
Steve, anything new in the North Fields?
So outside of that, I think as you drive along the highway there, get towards the highway, you can see where they've already move some ground out there, and they move the ground away prematurely.
Yeah.
And so they've had to back up a little bit there and actually do some water determinations and groundwater determinations. So that seems to have come to a standstill there. I did attend, I'm a member of the committee, but I did attend one Heber City meeting, and that was pretty contentious, I think, what they're planning on doing up there. I don't know that any of you have seen the plats up there, but they're actually making the roads very narrow so that you cannot have parking on the roads at all. So all of the parking will have to be at the garage or on at least on the driveway going to whatever housing area is there. And the amount development that's going to go there is exceptionally high. I mean, it's just going to be jammed full of people. I don't know how that's going to work.
Did anybody think about this little thing called snow?
I don't think that's the big concern. Yes, I know.
Narrow roads at high altitude is...
snow's got to go somewhere.
Well,
tell people
there's
snow. I'd be more worried about fire.
That's
the flip side of this. When they discussed that and said that you're not going to be able to have really two-way streets there, it's going to be pretty tight. How do you get fire trucks up there when we have a big fire on the end of the development?
I think it's all Jordan L. Ridge.
It's more than one development.
When you have fire trucks coming out.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem.
Okay, so is that a county-approved development or city-approved development?
It was county approved years ago.
Yeah.
The city has now annexed it because obviously they want the tax base. As part of the annexation, there was some density that was given. If you look at it closely, and I haven't looked at, I'm not an expert by any means, but I have
looked at it, what the county approved years ago and what that developer paid years ago, it was never going to not happen. It was never going to not happen. I have confidence that our fire marshals are going to be very careful about the concerns that you've raised, and they will continue to watch that closely. But some density was absolutely given by Heber as part of the annexation.
That was the incentive to go from county to
Heber City. And again, it's a difference in philosophy. It is what it is, virtually, and as I drive by it, coming home, I just am incredibly grateful for what we have saved and what will buffer us from that. We're all going to hate its guts as we drive by it, and then we get to come to beautiful open space and be grateful, and then we get to come home. So that's how I'm looking at
the irony besides that is that it was Jim Sorensen who actually purchased all that property. Yeah. So, you know, wealthiest guy in Utah, but he also purchased a whole bunch of stuff out at Harriman. And anyway, the original entitlements were done by the county, but he bought like thousands of acres, and there was this idea of, well, you've got entitlements right now for one unit per acre, but we'll set aside 80% open space. So, you know, there was a premise, they sold it to whoever was the county commissioners at the time, and now I think it's finally coming to fruition, and the city just decided, well, it's better in our hands than it is in theirs, from lots of different reasons, you know, the tax base they wanted, but also because they want to control it. They think they can do a better job than the county
which
can.
Which is the war over there, on that side of the river. Mm-hmm. It is the constant war. Who can control this better? Who's smarter than us? And like most wars, everyone loses. So, and I'm sorry, I just got a text, my dinner group has started, so I need to excuse myself.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
The big concern is that where they are doing that and they haven't done the appropriate water determination there, is that is smack right up next to the river.
I know. Yeah. I'm surprised they're letting them do it. They haven't done any of the studies. They haven't.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
I honestly, I can't speak to that. I don't.
I
the problem is with these things that happened so many years ago is it was loosey-goosey back then. And then those agreements get carried forward and not tightened up as they get carried forward. So it's unfortunate.
But now Provo River is in here. It's got issues. And so that's why they should do those studies.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you talking about the slope?
Thank you.
That new one on the corner up here?
That used to be a wetland years ago.
Anything else, Steve?
Curious.
Anything else?
I think that's plenty.
Thanks.
There was some communications with Kate at Summit Lands Conservancy, and she sent some information about the golf course and the issues up there, which you covered. Mm-hmm. They are anxious to move forward with us as the opportunity comes up into the next year. So that would be my message. I would remind you that both organizations, they get by on a mix of dollars. And if any of you are so motivated to contribute to one or both of those organizations, it would be greatly appreciated. You know the means to do all of that, so I just want to mention that. They've been great, great help. They love us. They're getting stretched thin, both of them. They both had a lot of successes. If you follow their newsletters and lots of good things going on, but to file that away. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll hear it goes.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Have a great holiday, everybody. Be in touch. Okay.